Broadcasting 2.0 for October 11th, 2024, episode 197. Yay, Jason! Oh, yes, everybody. I am jacked. I'm jacked and jitty. It's time once again for Podcasting 2.0 because it's Friday, the beginning of your weekend. This is exactly what you need to get you into the mood. It is quitting time, everybody. Welcome to the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything that's going on in podcasting. We, of course, are the only boardroom that never puts anything behind a paywall and is always premium content. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who hashes HCTP without fear or favor. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Podsage himself, Dave Jones.
You sound crunchy.
Crunchy?
Yeah, you just crunched when you replied to me. I must have you jacked too much.
I noticed, I think something changed with Clean Feed or something changed in Windows. I would actually blame Windows for anything else because I noticed that I actually had to turn down the output that's going into Clean Feed. I'm minus 4 dB on myself. I wonder
where this is coming. You sound very crunchy now.
Crunchy?
Very crunchy. Is it just me or the boardroom?
It's only the Clean Feed stuff. And Dvorak complained about that too. But I'm not.
It sounds like you're overmodulated. I mean, you're like,
oh, I'm overmodulating. Let me see what I can do.
No, you just pumped it out right there. Really? You were super modulated. Really? Yeah.
Hold on a second. Let me check this for a second. Auto mute. No, I don't want that. Here, let me see. Oh, routing. Oh, I can't do anything. I have a feeling it's something with either something.
I mean, I can put I'm fine with it. I can tolerate it for sure.
Yeah, but I don't like you having issues with me. Doesn't make me feel.
Yeah,
good.
Daniel's in the boardroom. He said Adam sounds like he's clipping.
Hold on a second.
I couldn't even hear him over the music.
Hold on a second. Let me see. Manage sound devices. Like I'm clipping.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Additional
clip property. It.
I don't want to clip. Let me see. Levels, enhancement, advanced. Levels. No, that's not it. Hold on.
Are you enhanced?
Well, in more ways than one, my friend. Let me tell you. Hold on a second. Device properties. Microphone. Here we go. Additional device settings. Let me see. How about if I bring this back? Does that change anything? Or does it just get softer?
Got softer, but it's better. It doesn't sound like it's clipping
one,
now.
Two, one, two, one, two. How's that?
No,
one,
that
two?
Sounds better. Yeah.
Better or as it used to be? One, two.
As it
one,
used
two.
To be.
Oh, okay. Well, then I think Windows just decided to, let me do this. One, two, one, two. Okay. One, two, one, two. How's that? Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. I can pull it down a little bit like that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds good.
Okay.
Well, because I didn't change my slider on you. And then all of a sudden you were just like, pumping it out like super
jacked. No, Dvorak was complaining about that yesterday too. I think Windows just decided to change something. Hey, let's turn up this level for no reason.
Yeah, did it turn on the oral exciter?
No, you
didn't know about that.
That's the first thing I checked. It's like okay. make sure there's no oral exciter on there. Can't have any of that. Hello there, Dave. How you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, well, it's time once again for a board meeting, Podcasting 2.0. Lots to talk about. A lot of people yapping about stuff. A lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot happening. Tuesday, there's going to be What Happened in 2004. The Verge is putting that out. I did my bit of the interview for it today.
Okay, so this is with only knowing the title, this is a backgrounder on podcasting and its history.
I think it's a little more than that. I think because 2004, YouTube was coming, Facebook was coming, Twitter was coming. It's like 2004 somehow was an important year where a lot of things happened. I think but yes, podcasting would obviously be the most important thing that happened in 2004.
Okay. So they lumped you in with the 2004, parade of tech.
Yeah, there you go. I was the last one. They kept like, hey, can't. I'm like, nah, I don't really have time. And the guy finally says, like, look, man, I got to have this in by Friday evening. Like, oh, what is it again? Oh, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Okay. When you just roll it, you've got that thing pretty much nailed. I mean, you don't have to like, you can just roll in there and do that story with anybody, right?
Yeah. Well, I try to mix it up. You know, I try to put in some extra things and make it exciting, make it a little unique for everybody. Yeah.
It's good that it's not just like another history of podcasting, because that's been done so to death. Oh, you know?
No, it's not that. It's not. No, I like their angle. I like the angle of what happened in 2004.
And it's kind of like what happened in 2007 with the cell phone and,
the iPhone. Yeah, yeah. So I was listening to the New Media Money and Video show yesterday. It's my new name for it.
NMMV?
Yes, NMMV. It's NMMV. Yes, the New Media Money and Video show, because that's all they talk about is video and money. And I heard that you, Judas. You were boosting the New Media show and not listening to Booster Graham Ball.
No, here's what happened. I saw Booster Graham Ball was live.
Yeah,
but the feed was messed up because from the Void Zero stuff.
Oh.
And so I didn't get the live notification for Booster Graham Ball on my phone until the show was almost up. I got the notification, the push notification. I hit it. Went into Podverse, and you were like, all right, that about does it. We're going to hit the last. I was like, oh, okay, all right, well.
So
then I was like, what else is live? And I like, the New Media show was live. And so I then got in and started, you know, boosting those guys.
Right, but they go live around 2 o'clock our time, right? So my timing was right, because Todd was making it sound like we were doing it at the same time. Like, I don't think so. I wouldn't do that.
See, because that's what I thought when I got the notice, and I was like, "Oh, they're going head to head, man. That's a bold move."
So this was an interesting thing, because I mean, the way the Void Zero system works, which I think a lot of people are using, the No Agenda infrastructure runs a lot of things for the community, including the stream and the chat and the boardroom and the troll room and all that stuff, and. The way it works is you upload your file, whatever it is, straight up FTP, and then he has this little mini CDN of, I think, 4 or 6 servers in different locations around the world, and just does a synchronization. You get an email, and you're done. So when I publish my feed, which then has the live item in it, you know, obviously I get an email notification. I don't always look for the email notification, but I can see, you know, stuff starts to go off or not, and I get pings that it's live. Now, it's very kind of hit or miss, because I guess I'm using Podcast Guru, which does its own parsing. I think that's probably why I got the notification. But even uploading the feed, it really depended on which server your app or whatever it was hitting, whether you got the updated feed or not. So if you happen to get the one,
I think Podcast Guru just got lucky.
Yeah, exactly. So it just happened to get the one where I upload the file, because the synchronization wasn't working. And then after I'm done with the show, I'm like publishing, and I'm like, how come it's and episodes.fm updated? That's what's interesting. Like, okay, because I guess episodes.fm doesn't look to the index when you use something. It doesn't have an iTunes ID. I just use the URL. So it got lucky. It said, okay, good to go, good to publish. And then there's all kinds. And then, of course, the errors come. Like, hey, I'm not getting it. This is not happening. I don't understand. Yeah. What's going on? And I'm like, I can't figure it out, because I can see the feed. I refresh the page. I get it from the server. So it looks good. And then you say, no, I'm not getting it. Because I pinged you.
Yeah, I just opened it in my browser, and it was.
Right. And then I refresh my browser, and then it wasn't there. Then it was only episode 23. I'm like, okay. Something screwed up. I immediately think caching, but boy, that's a long cache. Trying to bust the cache, re-uploading stuff.
Right.
So I wind up, you know, I hit Telegram for Void Zero. He's not responding. So I pull the bat signal, I pull the emergency ripcord, which is a text, which I'm in his priority group. So he gets woken up in the middle of the night in Holland.
Oh.
Yeah, he gets up. Man. He says, what? So... what? And because I also have to do Curry and the Keeper that night. So I'm like, something's wrong, man. He says, oh, let me see if I can fix it. And he says, oh, yeah, I did an upgrade of everything earlier today. I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Well, he's learned. He doesn't do these things before, you know, on a show day. So that's good. But of course, I do a show almost every day. And so, you know, he switched to Nix a while back.
Nix OS.
And so this is apparently some kind of deep-seated bug. He even had to open up a GitHub issue for it.
I wonder what it was.
I don't know exactly. But he jerry-rigged it somehow, and it got it working again. And then, of course, yesterday I got another, like, fear moment when I get, last night I'm going to bed and I get all these, I just hit the Twitter timeline, which I, you know, just do to the inbox, what's going on. And people are mad. They're like,
about what?
Apple hasn't updated in over 3 hours. Rah, 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 rah. And so I verify.
For Boostergram Ball or
no, for no agenda.
Oh.
For no agenda. Oh. And I think it was just an Apple parsing error or whatever it was. And every tweet said, time to switch to a modern podcast app. See, yep. Because that's one of the features I always say. If you get a modern podcast app, you get almost real-time updates. You know, there's no waiting around for hours. And so this is... thank you, Apple, for marketing that. That was great.
Now I want to talk about that a little bit today, too.
Well, should we bring in just our guest? Should we bring in our guest?
Yeah, sure.
Since this guest knows a lot about podcasting, he's been around for a hot minute. You know him from the podcast, the audacity to podcast. You also know him as the man behind Podgagement. Welcome to the boardroom, everybody, Mr. Daniel J. Lewis.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, everyone. Don't worry. We'll just edit out all that other stuff that happened earlier.
No, we leave that in there. What are you talking about? That's the best part is when it all screws up.
The future of podcasting. That's your gig.
I forgot that. Yes. Yeah. The future of podcasting. Another podcast. Hey, Daniel, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I just love what we're doing with podcasting 2.0. And as you know, I just love the industry.
What did you, so go 2004, was that earlier than you or how do you fit in that mix?
Yeah, for me, I didn't come into podcasts until 2005 because it was with the introduction of podcasts, or as Steve Jobs said it back then, podcasting in iTunes 4.9. Then my boss, an Apple fanboy, was all like, this podcast thing is so incredible. You got to check it out. And I thought, oh, another thing from Apple. I didn't like Apple back then. So I checked it out and I was hooked because I was so burned out on talk radio. I had a long commute back then and I was burned out on local talk radio, the sports and news on the nines or whatever it was. And then I discovered this world of podcasts where I could listen to exactly the information I wanted. And then at some point I realized I know how to do this same kind of thing. I was a web developer or web designer. I had some production background and eventually it took me 2 years to actually get going because I struggle with perfectionism, but eventually I just wanted to jump in and it took people to say what I'm sure Adam is thinking right now is don't try to be perfect. Just jump in and do it.
You're a Hall of Famer, aren't you?
I am.
Thank you. That's right. Yeah. Hall of Famer, man.
RSS and podcasting will cure you of perfectionism very quickly.
Kill you.
As I was just talking with the guy from The Verge, I'm like, that's the best part of podcasting. It wasn't all the pros. It was the as Apple would say, the crazy ones back in the day. That's what made it interesting. When I hear Michael Butler going, I just drank a 6-pack and I decided to crack the mic. And
that's old FUBAR Fridays and all. Yeah, there it's.
Yeah, it was good.
Can we talk about that? Let me talk about episodes.fm for just a second, because I've struggled with that this week. And I think it pertains to just the messiness of podcasting. The forever quote unquote side project that we're building,
which you keep leaking out.
I didn't do that on purpose. That was Spurlock. So Spurlock, I think what happens is, I think if I visualize Spurlock in his lair,
he has no life.
No, none.
He has none. 2,000 screens in his cave.
Yeah. And he's looking at it, you know, like in the Matrix where it had all the, they would just stare at those screens with the green junk flying down the screen.
Floating down. Yeah.
I think that's what he just looks at Podping all day. He's just watching it because he saw the pod pings come through and like back channel me. So, But I mean, I got to test this stuff, you know, I mean, I can't hold it back.
I know. I love James Cridland, who accidentally received login credentials on, in a group chat. And he hasn't even said anything about it. You know, he's like, no, I'm just not going to say anything.
Yeah.
I was immediately thinking, do you think Dave's parsing the log to see if he actually logged in or not?
No, I did not do it. Cause yeah, that's what I told you. I was like, yeah, leave it to me to accidentally send login credentials for this unreleased product to the podcast journalist. That's a great idea.
Don't worry, everybody. We'll be uncloaking soon. We'll be uncloaking soon. We will be. All right. So anyway, episodes.fm.
Yeah. So this is actually, I want your take on this too, Daniel, because you're the keeper of everything Apple directory adjacent, and like the issue that I ran into is this thing that we're building, it creates feeds. Now, I mean, this is not a hosting platform. That's not what this is, but it does create feeds. And so these feeds have to, they have to get into circulation somehow. And it's a very quick process. So it creates a feed, and these feeds need to be out there and subscribable. And of course they are with an RSS URL immediately. But then, you know, the issue is then, okay, how do you present it to the world in a way where they can easily subscribe, which has always been the Achilles heel of podcasting. And so Nathan's episodes.fm, I was like, oh, this is a godsend. I mean, this is great. I'm just going to plug this thing in. And when you fire up a feed, it's a side effect of this other thing. This feed pops out. Well, then I'll just pump that through episodes.fm. And then the listener can use episodes.fm, which is this beautiful user interface. And so easy. The problem is you push this feed URL over to episodes.fm, and this thing is a new feed. The world has never seen this thing before. You know, 30 seconds ago, it didn't exist. So it's not in any directories. It's not in any sort of distribution whatsoever. So you're immediately going to be limited to only podcast apps that can support local ingestion of an RSS feed, or podcasts that pull from the index, because we're pod pinging it immediately into the index, and the index ingests, you know, instantly. So the experience you get, and this is not the fault of episodes.fm. The problem with podcast distribution is that the top two spots are Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those two things they have their own directories, and they're also gatekeepers. You have to create an account on their system and then submit your feed to them. So that feed is never going to be in there. So those first two links, the ones everybody's familiar with, are just going to result in nothing. I mean, like the Apple link is going to break.
Yeah.
Well, there is a workaround for that, at least for Apple. And some other apps do this too, where
they have a website version.
No, even better than that. There is either it's a HTMS or a HTML. Sorry, not forget the HT part. We'll edit that out.
Dot HTM. Yes, Daniel.
It is the, you replace HTTPS with podcast. So it's podcast colon and then the RSS feed URL. That will activate the podcast app. Even on, right now I'm on the latest Mac OS that can access Apple Podcasts through the browser, but it still launches my app and it prompts me to follow that RSS feed directly. Mm. And there are many other apps that support the same kind of thing, where you just pass in the feed URL as some form of the app URL. It's not always the schema that's used. Sometimes it is just a straight URL. Like I think Podcast Addict does this, where if you do podcastaddict.com/, I think it might just be feed/, and then it's the feed URL. it allows you to subscribe directly to that feed. Spotify, of course, doesn't do that.
It used to be with episodes.fm, it would, and I think that's a change that was made, it would highlight browsers that use or that recognize this feed or have already subscribed. It was something, especially for live episodes. Now I still get the full list. It also used to also only support or only show apps that supported the live tag. I think that's a change that was made.
For sure on that. So what you said, Daniel, about the podcast link, I see this. I saw that this was what was happening with episodes.fm when you went to Apple Podcasts. The problem is that I just did this on my Linux machine. I went to one of these feeds, clicked through to episodes.fm, and what I'm seeing is, here's the list I'm seeing. This is not a criticism of episodes.fm. This is just the wonkiness of the way podcasting is. Is what I get is G Potter is the top spot. Spotify is the next one. That feed's not going to be in there. So what it's going to do is it's going to do a search. It's going to kick me to a Spotify search for the title, which is fine. That's a good way to fall back. But the feed's just not going to be there. So that's not the user is going to be confused. They're not going to know what to do. Then it gives LN Beats, Pocket Casts, and the fifth one down is Apple Podcasts. But see, I'm on a Linux box, so this Apple Podcast link is not gonna do anything. It's just gonna fail. So that only works if you're on device or on Mac. But the link still shows up for other platforms, so you still get this confusing, like, I don't know what's happening here. Now I'm sure Nathan has, you know, ways to like detect platform and work around some of these issues. But if you look at if you just go down the full list and look at all the different options you have,
there's a lot of exceptions.
There's a lot of exceptions. There's more exceptions than non-exceptions is what I'm saying. Mm. And
well, that's, you know, it. Our project has failed.
Well, you know, I think it kind of brought up to me that, you know, the two biggest platforms of Spotify and Apple are, they're acting as
islands.
They can do whatever.
Yeah,
the gatekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
Because yep. my feed can't get into their system in any way with. You know, like it can't get into their directory is what I'm saying.
Okay. So you're saying like, if you haven't intentionally submitted your feed to Apple,
right.
then yes. it doesn't appear in these other apps that yeah. rely on Apple's catalog for their list of podcasts.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
yeah. exactly. And so, you know, it would not be, and it's understandable. They can do whatever they want. They can run their directories and their platforms however they want.
If they want to be a-holes. Yes.
But what it leaves is this thing that's supposed to be open, that isn't.
You mean like YouTube podcasts? That's what they're doing. They're breaking the system, and that forces everybody to go through their on ramp and go through Spotify's on ramp. And long term, that's not a winning strategy. But right now, it's going to be pain, I think.
Well, we have this thing in the open web, or on the web, we have links, you know, and then so and they start with a URL scheme of HTTP or HTTPS, and that scheme is a trigger that every platform handles the same way. It always considers this a link to some sort of web request page. Podcasting just doesn't have this equivalent. It doesn't have a universal URL scheme that, like, the way it works on what you're saying with Daniel, the way it works on the iPhone is that podcast scheme, you know, at least this was my experience, any app can register that podcast scheme. So when you're hitting it, whatever the last app you installed, that's the one that catches it.
Yeah. Here's an example of that. I also have Downcast installed on my Mac. And if I do /ITPC:// which is supposed to be for iTunes podcast, it's that old, that should open an Apple podcast. But right now that prompts me to open in Downcast.
What is happening here, gentlemen, is we have just scratched a very old scar and we have opened up the wound down to the bone.
Yeah. And, you know, this is, okay, like Nathan says in the boardroom, I wasn't expecting a Linux user to try to listen in Apple Podcasts. If they want to listen in a browser, they can listen on EFM. Okay, so let me talk about that for a second. Because you're right, Nathan. In this, see, what we're building is going to have a very specific use case. Very specific. And so the web is already where this thing is going to be. So it doesn't make any sense to sort of like just go sideways over to another web player. Well, it could in certain circumstances, but not in this one. But the thing is, so I think ultimately what I'm realizing is that there's like for well-established shows, for shows that have distribution, they're going to, the episodes.fm is going to just be a godsend. It's like boom right through.
Yeah. If you have it's an awesome. iTunes ID, you mean?
Well, or even just an HTTP feed URL that is well known that's in these directories.
Yeah. Yes, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So if my show was in Spotify, even, you know, then that search would have returned it and it would have been a seamless transition. Like it would have been perfect. But for
brand new feed.
Yeah, this use case, I think what the issue is we're just going to have to be opinionated about which apps we want people to use. Yeah.
Well, there are two kind of solutions with this. One is that, yeah, you be opinionated with it and you recommend those top apps. And anyone who uses something other than those top apps is probably going to be familiar enough with their own app to be able to search for the podcast. But telling people to search in their app, I am against that. The other approach that you could take, yeah, you can also do the smart kind of thing. And I've been doing that with a feature of PodGagement where I detect the device that's visiting the page and I display only what's compatible with that device.
Sexy. And
there could be something there too, kind of like what Nathan does with episodes.fm, where you can have it remember your selection. And that remembering the selection leads to the other thing. Do you know about Blueberry's subscribe on Android.com?
Yeah, that's some JavaScript or something, isn't it?
It's something that the app developers had to put into their app. I don't know exactly how it works, but it is something they had to put into their app, but it's super simple code that they can support. And what that allows it to do is that if someone visits subscribe on Android.com, it will open that podcast in their preferred app or whatever app it is that they have installed in their system, as long as it's supported. So that kind of thing, that's what we need. But that, and also just this idea, going back to kind of an abandoned thing in podcasting 2.0, is the fast follow idea. That's really what we need here, is some way that people can quickly follow a podcast from whatever app, both clicking a link inside of that app, as well as opening really any podcast link, if possible, to automatically trigger opening that in their preferred app. And some of that, I know we're limited because of what you can do with the mobile operating system, but there are certain things that you can do with these URL schemas and the JavaScript tricks or URL patterns to potentially remember a favorite app, like what Nathan is doing with episodes.fm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that this, you know, I don't expect this to be, I don't know, solved ever fully in the way that's satisfactory, which, you know, I think the solution we're all looking for, if we could all just sit down in a room with the platforms and say, you know, with the mobile platforms and say, okay, look, this is what we want. I think we would all come up with something like, when I click on a podcast :// link, it pops up a list and asks me which installed players I want to use. Which one of these do you want to use? That's like this beautiful, you know, system that we would all want. It's probably a pipe dream to think that's ever going to happen ever, but especially not anytime soon. But, you know, in the meantime, you know, like you said, I think we're going to have to just not be afraid to be opinionated about, hey, here's my use case. This thing I'm building, and I'm speaking as just general developer here, this thing I'm building has these needs. It needs live support or funding tag support or blah, blah, blah. You list all the things it needs. And then you say, okay, which apps fit that criteria? Which apps do I, you know, do those things? And you say, okay, well, these 7 apps do that. Well, I'm just going to recommend those apps and I'm just going to link out to those things. And I'm just not going to worry about Spotify or Apple or these other things, because, I mean, podcasters clearly, you know, have Adam's listenership. He's moved from on No Agenda. You've moved a massive amount of people from just standard apps.
Oh yeah.
Pre-installed apps over to other apps.
Yeah. Thank you, Apple, for not updating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like if you ask your listeners to consider using this other app, many of them will. And if you just give them that option when you link out, well, a lot of them will also just go get that app. I think we're a little afraid to be opinionated, I guess. And so I'm learning to sort of live with that discomfort.
I'm looking at the top apps for No Agenda. Podverse, 13% at number 2. Podcast Addict, 8.5%. Overcast, 7%. Podcast Guru, 6%. These are big numbers. I mean, they're smaller than Apple Podcasts, which is 34%. And that should change after this week. Fountain, 4.6. Of course, there's zero Spotify in there because we're not on Spotify. And it hasn't hurt me.
No. And because I think a lot of people don't mind it. Spotify is like a podcast app of opportunity. I don't think anybody ever chooses that as their first one. Like it's convenient sometimes.
Well, you know, in other countries, like Italy, I know as an example, Spotify really launched podcasting. They weren't really listening to podcasts. In these past 2 years, Spotify did a big blitz. They got a lot of famous comedians and they put them all on Spotify. So when people say, are you on Spotify? And I say, no, you could see them go, okay. and I just say, no, we're on these other ones. But I agree. Being opinionated is not a bad thing.
I think that I want to challenge that idea of it's not hurting me. And I did a whole episode about this once on the Audacity to Podcast, that we really can't know that unless you have a parallel universe to split test things in. You really can't know.
I do.
Are you missing audience not in one platform?
I've done the AB. And the AB, I only have one metric. I was just helping someone with this today. I have one metric. Am I receiving enough value in return for the value I'm putting out there? We were on Spotify for a bit. When they first launched, they ingested us. I had never asked for it. Didn't even know it. And then I discovered it. And I said, uh-uh. I said, take it off. They took it off. And there were some people who said, you're no longer on Spotify. But what didn't change, Daniel, is the value we received.
Right, because that's the metric that matters to you in this case.
That's the only metric in podcasting that matters.
People value different things. So for some people, the value is they just want a big audience. Like in my podcast, I teach this profit paradigm, which profit stands for popularity, relationships, opportunity, fun, income, and tangibles. So different ways that people can get value from their audience as well as give value to their audience through their podcast. And so for some people, they just want to be popular. They just want a big audience. They want their audience listening in whatever app they want. But then there are the others.
And I would be okay with that, Daniel, if I could just be in any app people want to use. But the fact that I need to sign an agreement with both right. Apple and with Spotify, that's already breaking the basic agreement. So yeah. as an American, I will not stand for that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's the part that is pissing me off. It's like, that's the only thing. It's like, yeah. okay, you want to be Spotify? Great. But don't force me to sign some kind of terms of service with you. That's right. not okay. That's total horse crap. So now with Apple, and this is the one thing I'd love to still find a workaround for our project, you can subscribe manually to a podcast. You can just input the feed right. into Apple. Now, go ahead.
There's a very good reason to do that for any shows that are controversial or concerned that they might be deplatformed in any way, because I keep harping on this. Since iOS 14.5, you know, that catastrophic event that came out, since then, Apple no longer subscribes people directly to RSS feeds. Now, when you press subscribe or follow in Apple Podcasts, you are connected to Apple's proxy of that podcast.
Oh, how about that?
So if Apple or the podcaster remove themselves from Apple Podcast, the audience is disconnected from the podcast. 301 redirects do not save this. It is all about the audience is now following the listing, the catalog listing of the podcast. Right. So like that whole thing that happened with Alex Jones was before iOS 14.5. And back then when it happened, when Apple kicked him out of Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher were really the first people to kick him out, but when Apple did it, he didn't lose any of his existing Apple Podcast audience at that time. If that happened today,
because the app actually was subscribed to the feed and not right. to. Oh,
so if that happened today, though, he would lose his entire Apple Podcasts audience. So this is a big reason why anyone who's concerned about freedom of speech or censorship, corporate censorship, government censorship, for whatever reason, they should not recommend subscribing from a catalog like Apple, and certainly not Spotify. Spotify's always been this way, but Apple switched to being this way because Apple can stand between the audience. Apple could even prevent a single episode from going out
which
to an audience.
Which we know they do. We know they do this. We know they do it. We know that Spotify does it. Specific episodes are deplatformed.
Yeah. Well, and they have that power now.
If you're somebody who listens to a lot of podcasts, or somebody who's familiar enough with podcasts to know what to do to even subscribe to one, then I feel like it's very difficult to just live in Spotify, because you're going to have so many instances where either something you want is not on it, or you have a private feed or something. I guess what I'm saying is it doesn't take much for everyone to hit a roadblock at some point where they have to get some other app. Now, whether that's just the Apple Podcast default app or the, you know, YouTube default, whatever that's fine. But it seems like it's because Spotify is so closed gated. Against anything that's, you can't use a private RSS feeds with it. So if you have a private like membership feed, like I do for America This Week, it's a private feed coming out of Substack. I couldn't even use that in Spotify if I wanted to.
Right.
So it doesn't take much before you hit a barrier and have to use some other app anyway.
And let me tell you something about human nature from historical perspective. Back in the 70s, growing up in Europe, the Netherlands specifically, but it was the same for the BBC. It was the same for the German, all public broadcasters. So there were four radio stations in the Netherlands, and one, I think there were two AM repeaters of what was already on the FM station. So the popular music station at the time, Hilversum 3, it would start at 7 AM. It literally, the signal would not be off. The signal beyond would go like, doom, 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 Hilversum 3, doom, doom, doom. It would just repeat until 7. And then at 11:30, it would go off the air. Now it's 24/7. And the pirate radio ships were in the North Sea playing the music that the kids wanted to hear. So we were listening to long wave, not AM, long wave. You know, that's basically, yeah, there you go. Perfect timing. And you know, so you'd have all, and you'd have to retune. You have to kind of turn your body sometimes to get the signal, but at least we could hear the music we wanted. And people will do all kinds of things to get the content they want. Now, the thing that is this elusive discovery mechanism, which I don't believe in podcasting, because there's inherently no algorithms, maybe Spotify recommends some stuff or whatever. That's a different story. That's what platforms are good at, is figuring out what you want and recommending something to you. But in general, I found that people don't discover No Agenda or any of our other podcasts. It's someone else saying, hey, have you heard this podcast? No. Can I get on Spotify? No, it's only on X, Y, or Z. People will do that. They will do that to get something that some their buddy has told them, or that they've been listening to previously and they can't. They'll do whatever. They'll do whatever they want to get that content. There should be no fear about that at all.
Yeah, especially when it doesn't cost money.
Right.
You know, it's like if you say, hey, you should go check out this show, and it's going to, I see that it's going to cost me some money, I may pause. But if it's free and it's just doing a couple of things to jump, downloading an app or something like that, I don't know that that's the, it's just not that big of a barrier. It doesn't seem,
It's too bad, but okay, whatever.
Well, the directory stuff, like there's no directory of blogs.
No,
you know, but somehow that
there was, it was called Google Reader, and it got ruined. It got taken down because, oh, we can't make money on it.
But somehow RSS feed readers are you know, still kicking, going strong. Got lots of loyal users. Podcasting has this idea of having directories. You know, obviously we have one, but the idea of having a podcast, maybe this is where the rubber meets the road for me. The idea of having a podcast directory, but then it making me have to sign up and agree to a EULA in order to put stuff in it. That's not a podcast directory. I mean, that's not.
Oh, and it's not. We now know that we know what Spotify does, and now we know that Apple does the exact same thing. They are ingesting your content just like YouTube does through the RSS feed, and then they're doing whatever they want.
Right.
Interrupted that holy connection between the podcaster and the listener.
This is why we've done so many of the things that we've done with the index. Making the feed, making the database downloadable, you know, weekly, making it where it's instant ingestion, because the idea is you want everything to be decentralized. You want there to be zero barriers to being found, zero, you know, because it's like if an RSS feed if a podcast feed is out there. And it wants to be in the index, it's boom, done. You don't have to sign anything. You know, I mean, we're going to find you. We're going to stick it in there without your input anyway. And if you want it out, you can. But that's, to me, that's a directory.
Yes.
That's an actual, like, discovery mechanism. If there's a,
there's the your discovery. Discovery. There's your discovery. Yeah. That's your discovery right there.
So I'm just griping now.
No. So this is actually good news, because this, we can move into another topic here. I am delighted, absolutely delighted with the AI slop. Now, I have a prayer. I'm going to be honest with you. My prayer is I would like all the social networks to be filled with AI slop, so they become unattractive and unusable. That is, and I'm not kidding. This is an actual prayer I do, because I think it's so horrible what's happening with social media.
There's probably a Catholic saint for that. The Catholic saint of AI slop.
We got to find him. And now we're seeing that the free hosting company, because there's really only one free hosting company, which is Spotify for podcasters. They are going to be filling up Spotify with so much AI slop We don't even automatically ingest Spotify for podcasters anymore, do we?
No. It has to be submitted.
No, exactly. It has to be submitted. And so, you know, the irony of almost everyone talking, oh, AI and podcasting. Oh, yeah, it's great. And I'm a show notes and everything. Like, what? They're doing AI podcasts? Oh, we have to have tags for that. Oh, no, we can't have that. I'm like, this is the best thing that could have ever happened, because this is not really getting submitted to the index. This is all this nonsense is going to fill up Spotify with crap. And I could not be more happy about it. Those guys are going to be running after themselves.
Spotify wasn't already full of crap?
Okay. Okay,
Dana. Ba-ding. Is AI, Chad F. says AI is slowly ruining value for value music. Is it?
Well, I mean, that's
really true,
but I think that's really subjective. If you listen to a song and you like it, and you know, for instance, I'll give you an example why I'm not going to agree with that statement. Mo, who actually is a music producer. That's what he was doing before I met him, from Mo Facts. He has been actually making some really good music with his own lyrics, and he's come up with these crazy super prompts, and he sent me a couple of songs, and I had no idea it was AI. The vocals didn't sound your typical, you know, AI type vibe. I was like, I'm okay with that. You know, if I want to, you know, I danced and listened to disco. Yeah, come on.
That was basically AI.
That was the beginning of AI music. I mean, we went through this with, oh, it's not real drums. That's a drum machine. That's no good. It's ruining the music business. Well, arguably, no. No. So I don't think it's ruining value for value music at all. If it's a good song, it's a good song. It doesn't matter, you know, if I hit some washboards and buckets, or if I had AI do something. If I like it, then I like it. And if people don't like it, then I shouldn't be playing it. If they go, that's nasty, I can hear it's AI, I don't like it. How is that ruining everything? If people, I think there will be AI music podcasts. I see no reason why there wouldn't be.
Let's dive into that.
That was funny, Daniel. Let's unpack this. Yes, exactly. Let's dive into, let's do a deep dive on that. Yes, exactly. And I mean, I like all of these Notebook LM podcasts because they become so recognizable, and they're, yeah. I mean, some of them are actually, it's hilarious. I mean, I can listen to, it's limited because now everyone's sending me, hey, look what I did. I put raccoon butt in there. Ah, they did 8 minutes on raccoon butt. Yeah, it's funny for 30 seconds and then it's not funny anymore. But as these voices will become changeable, I listened to an AI podcast. We talked about that on the last show. What is it called?
Some tech news or something.
Hold on a second. Let me open my secret project.
No,
my secret project. So will tell me exactly what that is. It's here now. Where is it? That's interesting. I don't see it now. The project's broke, Dave.
Oh, did it break?
No,
it wouldn't surprise me.
No, it's working. It's working, but I just don't see it in here. The automated daily.
Okay.
And so here's someone who takes news stories and inputs these news stories. And it's not these two offensive deep dive people. It's a pretty non-offensive voice. And it's just giving me a summary of these news stories. And I kind of like it. There's zero personality. It's just reading it to me, which is what I suggested months ago. I said, how come my app can't subscribe to a blog and the app just reads me that blog? That'd be fine. So I don't have a problem. I don't see, you know, also this whole tagging AI content. I mean, come on. You know, what's next? Tag Photoshop jobs? Yeah. I don't see it as a huge issue personally. I like the fact that it's filling up Spotify with crappy podcasts, because after the novelty wears off, they're crappy. Isn't it? It's not, it's the content.
What it does help is makes the authentic podcast really stand out. Like, I went on a rant about this in one of my episodes recently. Yeah. I like being in the kitchen and cooking and stuff. And whenever I go on to YouTube to try and find the best, whatever, potato peeler, I find all of these videos that are just AI generated crap where there's they just looked at what has the top ratings on Amazon. Let's promote it with affiliate links. Let's do this generic voiceover that tells you really nothing. So there's so much of that out there that when I see a video of someone actually using the product, their opinion to me skyrockets because they are a real person actually using it, not just talking about it because it's popular, but they're sharing their opinion and experience.
And let's be honest. And that
means so much more.
Let's be honest. The algo didn't recommend those to you. You had to do some work to find it. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's usually like second page.
And this is, I went through this with Diddy Stein, you know, the whole P. Diddy thing. So I'm looking for information on Diddy and whoa, there must be 1,000 AI generated YouTube channels about Diddy. And
oh,
cause, you're watching it and you hear the voice like, okay, you know, it's like, I know this is not really a person speaking, but I can handle that. And then the images just, you know, they rotate. Like I've just saw that it's all B roll. And after about 45 minutes, I'm like, okay, no one has anything. This is all crap. It's all from headlines until I finally found one person who I thought was, you know, had some good information. I could follow them. But the AI stuff, it actually, it's a big turnoff. It's a big turnoff. It's slop. It is slop. All of it. I just like saying slop.
You've got me so completely distracted debugging the secret project here. I got the dev tools open.
No, it's working. Dave.
Okay.
It's okay. I just don't worry about it.
I did find a bug though. I did find a bug.
Don't debug on the show, man.
Funding URL does not have a default value. That's okay. I can fix that.
Okay. That's why I didn't show up. Okay. I got you.
Live debugging.
So, yes. Do we need to talk about AI podcasts anymore? Have we handled this? Have we all given our opinions?
Please no.
Okay.
Please no.
Pod ID needs to be discussed.
Yes. Have you seen this, Daniel? Seen pod ID.
I've been talking with Russell a little bit about it. Can you explain it for me, as well as anyone else who's unfamiliar?
I think I can. Yes. It's multifaceted. So, I just saw Russell Harrow's picture. I have not seen that before.
I saw a picture of his bloody ear.
Oh,
yeah. he posted on them. He had some kind of, he had like a brain operation and he had to go to the ER. He posted all this on Podcast Index Social. And they said,
well, I thought he may have done a speech in Pennsylvania.
It actually looked worse than Trump's ear. And he did the right thing. He says, you know, don't click on this unless you can handle blood. I'm like, oh man.
Of course he's baiting you at that point. You know,
how could I not? It's like, this has got to be some cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Okay. So podid.org I'm trying to figure out where to start. Okay. The person tag. Let's start with the person tag. The person tag is a very simple tag. Sort of. It has, you can define a name, an href, which is a web link to some place on the web that is associated with this person, maybe their homepage or their business or whatever. There's a href, the person's name, and an image, a link to an image of the person, like an avatar. And then you can define a role that they're going to be on the show, like a guest, host, audio engineer, whatever. So that's the person tag. And then you have, so then pod ID is something that Russell created as sort of a layer over the top of the person tag. And that is, I'm thinking of it like Gravatar for podcasting. That may not be fair, but that's kind of the way I think about this. I think, and this is what I think he's doing. I think he is crawling all of the podcasts. I don't know how he determines which ones to crawl and which ones not to, or if he's crawling all 4 million. I don't know what he's how many he's doing, but he's crawling through tons of podcasts to find person tags. And then he's sort of bringing those in and making them searchable through podid.org. But what you have to do is you have to sign up, sort of like Gravatar. You have to sign up and then put in your, your email address and your a link to your website and some stuff, some identifying information. And then PodID will associate you with these different person tags that have appeared across the corpus of feeds. So then when people are using the podid.org API, they can easily find all of your appearances based on a hash of the href or a hash of your email address.
It seems interesting. And still, though, I wonder, do we need a third party service to do that? Because like you think of Gravatar, not everything supports Gravatar. Some places you have to upload your image manually. Some of them it's frustrating that you can't upload your image. And the only way you can change your image is by going to Gravatar and creating an account. I think though, PodID, at least from my understanding, what you've said and what Russell has said seems like it's an optional third-party service, kind of like episodes.fm, that someone could use if they want to. And if they don't want to, then they don't need to go over there and sign up.
Here's my question. I would like to see some numbers on the use case of how important it is for people to be able to find all the other podcasts this person appeared on. I have a feeling that is a very, very low number. This to me sounds like it was created by people who like this functionality and need it for research purposes. I'm not sure it's a user use case.
Well, and the tough thing with it is its effectiveness really depends on people actually populating the person tag.
Well, that's for sure.
Like if I wanted to, since I've been a guest on a lot of podcasts in the past, if I wanted to create a quick archive of here are all of the episodes I've ever been on, I can't do that by searching the person tag because not all of those podcasts have searched the person tag or used it.
Okay, now this is interesting. So I'm when I first signed up for PodID this morning, I didn't see, initially there was nothing there. And he said they crawl every 5 hours. And so now I've gone back and it says you have maybe, let's see, it says you may be featured on these episodes. And so I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 4 maybes and 1 definite. And it says we matched you on these podcasts and episodes, and it says podcasting 2.0. So that one's automatic. It found me immediately there. And then there's these other 4, and they're all feeds that I've done. Yeah. I don't know that I even put the person tag in those.
Okay. So first of all, a centralized resource is just not a good idea, period. One of our biggest fears, if Dave and I talk about stuff, even jokingly, it's like, dude, how do we make sure this thing, this index continues? Because we're going to die. We're going to die. I hate to tell y'all, we're going to die. Now, we'll be partying in heaven. This is the good news, but we're going to die.
I've got a plan for that. I've got a plan for that. Yeah.
So there's plans. You know, we have there's a lot of different plans, but in general, Dave goes, a lot of problems happen. A lot of problems with a lot of projects and a lot of apps. That's the index. So now if we bootstrap all kinds of other centralized things on top of it, there's your main problem. What I find interesting, and this is what kind of piqued my interest, let me step back. It's a display purposes thing. I will put in whatever Daniel J. Lewis wants me to put in. I usually just select a picture and put that into the person tag. And I know that apps that support this will show the picture that I chose, which is, I love having that control because I can choose the worst picture or the best picture. It's all up to me. I, after all, control my feed. and whatever link, and it may be something that Daniel wants to promote today, and which may be different from yesterday, and he may not want to have to update some centralized thing that changes everything. So I like the fact that there's a lot of flexibility, and it's for that episode in the feed that I'm producing that I want to have look a certain way in the apps. I want that information to be passed through. What I find compelling about what Russell has done is I wouldn't mind having a resource that I can go to and say, what other podcasts has this person appeared on? And because he's already claimed to be scraping, you know, transcripts and doing all kinds of stuff, that could be a valuable research tool.
And that thing already exist, like with Podchaser.
Yeah, well, I've never used Podchaser, so I wouldn't know. Well, there you go. There's kind of your answer. So is it really something that's necessary to have this centralized resource and the pain? Because it's painful. Look how much effort it took. Oh, okay, we had some early adopters, but it's been very painful to get the adoption of the index to be seen as a valid thing. You know, where you can go and you can get numbers that are be valuable if you're looking for, you know, what happened the last 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Can I find this podcast for sure? You know, all of these things, it's taken years. Now to do that for individuals and have all the individual content producers, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. There was Podping made things a lot easier for us. And having big hosting companies jump in, but you know, you literally have to have everybody retool for this. It seems like a really heavy lift.
Go ahead, Daniel. Go ahead.
This big problem that we're facing is basically this war between centralized and decentralized, and that happens every day in podcasting because podcast consumption and distribution are decentralized. But discovery is basically centralized because discovery typically happens in a way inside the apps. And so it is centralized to whatever catalog that app is using. Right. That's the centralization that I'm talking about here. So this idea of PodID or Podchaser or IMDb or anything like that, those are just other centralized sources of information that maybe does need to be centralized, but then we're trying to make it fit in with a decentralized system.
I'm sorry. Russell has put in some more information since I last looked at podcastindex.social about this. And so I've got a little bit more background here. He's saying that they use Podping. They watch Podping. And then they just parse feeds that come through with Podping, and that's how they look for new person tags. That's cool. That's a great use of Podping. I like. Yeah,
that is great.
Uh huh. And it's so efficient. You're not having to go back and, you know, just like scrape the whole universe all the time. Perfect. Perfect use.
And maybe when a Podping comes through with a different link or to image or a different link to an href in the Podping, mm-hmm. add it to the record. Don't replace, but add.
I think what Russell's doing is creating. I think this is my gut. Is what he is creating is a tool for the hosting companies to use. To help their customers find people to put into person tags so that I can say, okay, I'm going to have a guest on my show and I'm in the dashboard of a hosting company and I'm like, okay, this person is, I'm going to have Daniel J. Lewis on here. So I'm typing in Daniel J. And then it's going to search podid.org in the background and find some hits. And they're like, oh yeah, that's him. So I hit it and then it pulls in and just based because it already has seen your person tag on other places, it's going to give you options to just go ahead and pop that right into your new episode. That's cool. Yeah.
That's providing a service, an agency level service to these providers so that the providers can make an easier experience for the podcasters. I'm all for that.
Doesn't ListenNotes provide that API as well?
listen notes for the person?
Listen notes.
Podchaser.
Podchaser, yeah.
Yes. Or, yeah, okay, they provide right, right. Listen notes might actually as well. I don't right, remember.
Right, right. So these services do exist.
So this is cool. This is like, this would be a service like, this is a great tool because this is a service like Podchaser, but it is based on the decentralized, non-owned data of, I mean, you know, the way Podchaser works is they just have people like hoofing it, like just doing like manually inputting
really?
Stuff. I don't know.
Oh man.
Yeah. They had a farm of people they manually inputting this stuff.
They should look at Podping. What are they thinking?
Well, what Russell essentially created was a clone of Podchaser, but that is based on actual structured feed data that nobody owns, which is beautiful. And then, you know, and it's a centralized service, yes, but it's a centralized service made to facilitate the easy use of this data by other centralized services, which are the hosting companies. I mean, the hosting companies are centralized as well. I mean, they're an aggregate of tons of feeds and that they control. So, I mean, I think it's cool, man. I mean, I don't know that I don't know that we have to change the person tag.
I don't think he's suggesting that, is he?
He started off suggesting it, but I'm not sure where we are on that yet.
Oh, because I thought
to
it
be
could,
clear, yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't mind putting in some sort of hash, like a hash of something. But at the same time, I feel like there's already enough data in the person tag where you could just that's hashable already. Like, so okay, let's say everybody wants a hash, you know, because they want a universal ID, a unique ID. For each person tag, but you could do it this way. You can recreate this way. Daniel J. Lewis has two sort of identities that he wants to use. One is as maybe a podcast consultant, and another one is in his personal capacity. His consultant identity has a specific href and a specific pig avatar. And the name Daniel J. Lewis. His personal capacity has a different href, a different picture URL, and also the exact same name, Daniel J. Lewis. Though, if you just hash the entire tag, minus the role, if you just hash those three things, the name, the picture URL, and the href, you get a unique, you get two different values. One is going to be his personal and one's going to be his professional. And you could very much pump that in, you know, into a centralized service like podid.org. And then when somebody tries to find Daniel J. Lewis, they'll see both of those identities and they'll just choose the one that's appropriate. Like, I don't know that we necessarily need to add another attribute to the person tag is what I'm saying.
No, I'm with you.
Do you agree, Daniel, or am I crazy?
I could maybe see something like a directory listing because there is the idea of, well, should the person tag link to this person's website or link to something that does point out other places where they've been? But then again, that's what the person tag is supposed to do because the podcast app should see that and then be able to link to other places. So even like right now, do we have the ecosystem where the podcast app, if I'm in Podcast Guru and I see Dave Jones in the app on an episode I'm listening to and I tap on your name, is that going to take me to a whole list of other podcasts you've been on? The apps would probably have to process all of that themselves unless they use a third-party service. So I kind of see what he's doing as maybe a service for the developers. And maybe there is the possibility of linking something inside of the feed in the person tag, because how otherwise would, like, take Podcast Guru, how would Podcast Guru know how to discover all of those other episodes if you're linking to podcastindex.org in your person tag, but you could then add this pod ID or something else as an additional attribute that is, in a way, it's like the publisher feed, but for the person, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that then makes it so much easier for the app developers to instantly populate that list of everywhere else this person has been.
I think what, as I'm listening to your talk, I feel like what there's still room here. So you have Russell's service, which is meeting this need. He's, you know, again, he's a hosting company. So this is a service that he would, you know, that he wants and that fits that use case. It's obviously got other use cases too, but I think that's a great fit for that type of thing. But then I feel like there's also this other possibility. Still, there's still a need for just a flat list that exists somewhere that's doing the thing that I mentioned a while ago and sort of the thing that you're talking about, Daniel, where you have just a flat JSON list.
Yay, JSON!
of name, you know, name and attribute and hash. And then when an app or some service wants to just look up, when they see something, they can just match hashes. Like I don't know that the hash just has to be in the tag. You know, right. That's the thing.
The hash could change too. You get one character off on a URL, like just a trailing slash yes or no, and the hash will be different.
Well, that's what happened. So initially Russell posted back and said, that's why I initially was not seeing any hits, is because the URL in the href that I've always used has been an HTTP link, and his service required HTTPS.
Oh, so you're subjected to a man in the middle attack on your information, Dave. You're not encrypting everywhere. Oh, bad, bad.
I know, I'm horrible. And so they didn't match up. So he changed the system just a few minutes ago to just treat everything as HTTPS. So, so that fixed the issue. And, but I don't know. I think there's a lot. I like this service a lot. I think it's cool. Having to go through here, and it says maybe you've been on these episodes and I've got some potential matches. And so for each one, I can choose, do I want to sort of tag myself as this is an appropriate hit to be returned in the podid.org API? And I think that's a great way to do it, because that gives me some control. I don't have to, because these are hits. What this has done, I think, is matched up my email address with what was in the feed. And that he's not including those by default, which I think is, again, the right choice. I can choose whether to associate myself with that or not. The person tag match was an instant hit, and it went right into the API. I don't know. I like it. I like it a lot.
Dave, we have you for another 15. Is that the same same time frame we're on today?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we shall move on to one last quick topic.
Okay.
No song today. We got no time for music.
No song? No, play a song. Play a song.
But then we will. Okay. All right. Well, I pulled a song particularly for Daniel J. Lewis. You can what?
I condone it. I condone this.
You condone this? Okay. Daniel, I chose this one for you and for me because I love it. Embleton, You're Killing Me on 2.0.
Sunrise coming. I'm guilty again. Rooster crowing. It's not the first time. I see you running. You kiss my neck and everything I thought
you were a ghost just standing there, didn't care, always mad, looking for the bad in me. I compared you to my dad, to be honest, I've been wondering if you could really love me. I thought you were a ghost just standing there, didn't care, always mad, looking for the bad in me. I compared you to my dad, to be honest, I've been wondering if you could really love me. You said you really love me, and it feels like heaven.
Chatter definitely weighs out the message of that song. We're all going to hell.
It's the boardroom is basically a bunch of 15-year-old boys.
I'm up front, man. It's a value for value song. So if you didn't boost while you were listening to it, you can always go back and you just even pause it and you can boost. And all of that works in the modern podcast apps. We're running out of time, we need to thank some people for this value for value operation that we're running here. I'll read a couple of the boosts that came in. In fact, one just came in from Booberry. Whoa, 30,003 sats, which is a nice palindrome. And he has a link here to the split kit with some video. Oh, all right. I got to check this out for a second.
Are you going to click that?
Yeah, I'm going to click that. Let me see. Whoa. Oh, my God. This is some kind of massive, massive boost board thing on split kit. Not even sure what this is. Huge shout out to Stephen B for these live split kit watch pages. He says it reminds me of being back on MySpace almost. And I love it. He's also implemented using chapter artwork instead of video. Very deeply legal. Okay. Well, I got to look at all this, man. This is, I'll put it in the show notes so people can take a look at that. And I have no idea what I'm looking at right now, but you know that it's good stuff because these guys are crazy. 2222 from Cole McCormick. Speaking of centralized versus decentralized, I had a meeting with Zach from IndieHub. Ah, yes. His vision is to be the center of the new model for fundraising and distributing movies and TV while using decentralized tools and tags to enable that. Yes, I like Zach a lot. I think he's on a good path there. I put my short film, The Break-In, on there, and people can use the site to watch it, support it, and I enabled the option to distribute with RSS. Ah, he's doing hosting too. Cinema side of podcasting seems to need a centralized thing to show people what's possible. Well, sometimes you do need that. That's cool. I'll take a look at that. Salty Crayon 1111, Adam and Dave, I look at the AI as parody. If it makes me laugh, I play it. But the voice that sounds like JCD using his intro boots on the ground and subs in the water and the bunker voice for music, and then it gets put into the AI sludge bucket. No Okay, I'll let him know. 777 boost from Chad F. Thank you, Chad. 1776 freedom boost from Salty Crayon. Hero boardroom. A little V for V housekeeping. Fountain looks like the value time splits is on the fritz again, with not time stamping the music and artists in Fountain. Artists, if it's not in the index, don't promote the legacy apps. You, if you want to earn crackers, stay on Spotify. And Wavelake, he says. We can get an organized list that says music podcasts and podcasts separate from each other. Hold on a second. Can we get an organized list that says music podcasts and podcasts separate from each other? From the last boardroom, yes. More V for V wallets. Jesus, take the wheel. This is off the rails. In the pipe, go podcasting.
Yeah, whoa. He fell on the board there.
Well, Ellen Beats, has a pretty good list from what I've seen. Yeah. EllenBeats.com. Yeah. Another 333 from Chad F. And Dreb Scott boosted the bat signal. And that's what we've got, Dave. I hit the delimiter.
We've got Podverse donated $50. That's Mitch and Creon.
Very nice. Podverse. Thank you, brothers. Excellent.
Still waiting on Podverse NG.
Yes.
Next gen. Yes. Hard at work there. We got some boosts. We got Pod Home. That's Barry. 30,000 sats. Woo. Through Podcast Guru. He says, I appreciate you guys.
No, thank you, Barry. We appreciate you guys. You guy. He's only one guy over there, Pod Home. Yeah. Use guy. Yes.
Anonymous through Castomatic. That's rare. Castomatic doesn't usually, we don't see Anonymous through Castomatic.
Maybe just named himself Anonymous.
That's true. Maybe that might be his first name. Boosting on episode 196 of Redneck Air Force, he says, just for the music, 51 sats.
Nice. Yep. Thank
we you. Got you. We got you covered. Comic Strip Blogger. That was a very short list.
Very short list. People, what's going on? You'd think Bitcoin was down. Oh, it is.
It's always down. But do you know my buddy Tim was telling me about the 58K crowd?
I've heard of this. Bitcoin's going to 50 and will never go above 58 and it's stuck at 58. Is that what that is?
Yeah. If it ever goes below, it'll come back up. If it ever goes above, it'll come back down to 58 and it'll just like pegged there forever.
I watched the HBO special last night, that promised to uncover for me the true identity of Satoshi Nakamoto.
I've heard that thing is terrible.
Well, I actually watched it because I heard the breakdown of it on This Week in Bitcoin with Chris. And that is funny enough. It made me want to watch. And it has some good history of Bitcoin. It does have some good. Yeah. I mean, the whole search for Satoshi is like, whatever. Okay. And of course,
we don't find out who Satoshi is.
No, of course not. Not spoiler alert, not conclusively. But but in general, it's a pretty good doc about Bitcoin. I enjoyed it.
Well, maybe I'll give it a watch. But we do have Comic Strip Blogger. Yes, 26,000 sats.
He's always there.
He says when the apocalypse happens.
Yes,
there's going to be three things when the nuclear winter and apocalypse happens of World War III. There will be three things left: Velveeta cheese.
Yes,
cockroaches.
And comic strip blogger. I actually plugged him in my interview. I don't know if they'll use it.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I said, I was talking about early podcasting. I said, we had all these cool characters show up, like Roger Smalls, who people may not remember, but hello, Adam, it's Roger Smalls. And and comic strip blogger. And he's still with us. We love you, comic strip blogger.
Howdy, Adam and Dave. I'd like to invite y'all to a podcast called Unrelenting. Available at www.unrelenting.show. It airs live on No Agenda Stream immediately before your live broadcast. It's hosted by Irish Mafia member and a Jew. Grok AI says about it, why unrelenting? Real talk, honest debates with a touch of humor. Hot topics, from tech trends to political rants, nothing's off limits. Engaging banter. Gene and Darren chemistry make every episode must listen. Yo, CSB.
Well, that's a promo if I ever heard one.
Yeah, it is.
Comic Strip Blogger, he is here to promote your podcast. He is the podcast discovery mechanism. Just so.
I missed one. Hold on. That was a foul. Oops. Sir Brian of London, 11948. Oh, okay. Castomatic.
Yes.
He says, I'm back. I had to find time to shift my Albi to Albi Hub on the old Umbral because I really didn't want my 0.85 BTC node to be linked to every podcast app. I'm not sure I like this new setup, but I'll try it. Let's finish my ALB API for a podcast.
I got to, I'm digging the ALB hub now that I understand it. And it, and I understand it because I could just click install it. It's like, oh, it's there. Oh, I see what I'm supposed to do. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's basically turns your, my own node into, you know, gives me an app store for it. So I can connect all these apps to it.
Got so much backlog of stuff to do that, including the, you know, the Zebedee and the LightSpark and all. I've got a humongous backlog of stuff like that that I will get to as soon as we ship this thing to testers.
Yeah, why don't we just take next week off, Dave?
Sure, that'll work. Okay, but hey, on a programming note, though, I will be gone next. I will not be a show next week.
Ah, good. Where are you going?
Going to going hiking, me and Melissa.
Oh, you're going to do the Appalachian Trail? Or have you chosen for something else?
No, it's damaged. We were going to do the Appalachian Trail, but it's damaged because of all the flooding. Yes, so we're actually going to go. This is our this year was our 25th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
So
we're,
yeah.
What is the actual date of your your anniversary?
It was August the 14th.
Oh, you forgot to tell me. I would have called it out on no agenda.
Oh, sorry.
25 years and they never had a fight.
Not even one.
Tina's hiking the Smoky Mountains right now with the Blonde Squad.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she sent me a picture.
That's great hiking up there.
They were all looking at the Aurora Borealis last night. It was beautiful there.
The Aurora Borealis has been it's been down here in Alabama.
Yeah, we had it last night in Texas.
This magnetic storm is no joke.
No, we love that. More storms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been alive for 48 years, and I don't ever remember an Aurora Borealis in Alabama until this year. We've had like three occurrences of it.
Oh, you've never been through a world war either, but it's coming.
Yay!
Yippee! Hey, we want to thank our guest, Daniel J. Lewis. The J stands for
Jason. Oh, wait, I got monthlies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Monthlies. Jesse Hunter, $10. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Bezel Phillip, $25. Mitch Downey, $10. Christopher Harbark, $10. And Terry Keller, $5.
All right. Thank you all for supporting us with your value for value. This is how it works. We put everything out there, the whole podcast index, all of it, all the work, all the energy, the effort, the sweat, the blood, the tears, all of it's in there. And as long as we get value back that is worth it to us, we keep going with the project. That's how simple it is. It includes the board meeting, of course. And so far, so good. We don't take any of that money, but that's not the value we're looking for. We're looking for people doing stuff. It's time, talent, and treasure. Daniel J. Lewis, you're a part of that, man.
Thank you. I've been a fan of this ever since the beginning. You might remember that I heard you mention it on No Agenda, and I immediately emailed you. And I was like, whatever you're doing, I want to be part of it.
And did I email you back or did I shine you? Oh, I did.
No, you emailed me back.
wow.
It wasn't like the first time that we met.
It might have been for me. Like, who's this guy? Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, that's good.
Do you want to hear that story briefly?
Sure.
So it's a two-part story here. Very brief. You know Jen Briney, host of Congressional Dish.
I do.
Years ago, back when I was married, I was at, it was the night of the podcast awards, the first time I won a podcast award. And at the party after the award, Jen Briney came up to me and she was just gushing with fangirlism because she said, you taught me everything I know about podcasting. I wouldn't be podcasting if it wasn't for you. And like just showering all of this praise on me to the point that I started to feel a little awkward. And like, I tried to hold up my left hand showing, you know, I am married and I could tell she was married. I kind of tried to gesture my wife to be over closer to me. And it was just like this awkwardness.
Back off, girl.
Now, of course, she didn't mean any of that. She was just such a fangirl. Well, so fast forward then, I think 2 years later, New Media Expo, the last New Media Expo, the one that had the podcast award, horrible disaster there. And Adam was there. And Adam, I got to meet you afterward. And I was having my own like fangirling moment because that was the first time I'd met you in person. And like, I just owe so much.
Did Adam show you his ring to show you he was married?
I'm married, Daniel J. Stay away.
Well, so what happened is I just was so excited to meet Adam and I wanted to tell him how much I appreciated him and what he's done in podcasting. And then he says, "Hey, is that Jen Briney?"
That's funny.
Well, I'm a big fan of Daniel J. Lewis. I listen to your podcast. I always tune in to find out what the future of podcasting is going to be. And I learn a lot. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you being on. Don't be no stranger now.
Hey, anytime, every time.
Okay. Brother Dave, thank you so much, man. And I'm glad you're not going to be here on Friday. You deserve it. You and the wife deserve it.
Are you going to do something? Are you going to do a Boost Cram Ball or something?
We're just
going to call it.
But I just might call it. There's a lot going on, but you never know. You never know. I might get a bug at my butt. You never know.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
This is true. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you very much for being here in the boardroom. We appreciate all that you do, your time, your talent, your treasure. We'll see you in 2 weeks right here on Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Don't debug on the show, man.